Pray. Pray. Now begin to pray that as the word of God is coming, that you will be blessed. That you'll be fashioned in the image of Christ more and more. With unveiled faces as in a mirror. That as the word of God is coming, we are changed into Christ. We are changed into the very same image of the Lord. And we go from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Pray. I will be blessed. I will be blessed. Lord, in the way I came, it's not the way I will go out. In the way I came, it's not the way I will go. I will be mightily blessed by this teaching today. Yes, it's a demand. Place it on God. I shall be mightily blessed. I will receive revelational truth to guide me in my ways, in my business, in that which God called me to do. Being strengthened by God's grace. Being strengthened by the grace of the Lord. Being strengthened by the grace of none. Open your mouth and pray for the man of God. Pray for our pastor, Pastor Banky. And that God should anoint him afresh. Pour forth his grace upon his leaves, for grace is poured upon thy leaves. Say, Lord, anoint our pastor. Anoint him afresh. Lord, and let that man to cover him. Let that your spirit cover and shield him. Let him speak in the power that you have given to him. With all utterance, let it be given to him. And Lord, send me one word from him. A word of consolation, a word of strength and power. A word of life. I receive that word from him. I'm attentive. Ask the Lord that as he speaks, you are attentive to receive instruction. He said, when you see me, move. A double portion will come upon you. It called for attention. It called for keen observation. Ask God that you avoid distraction of any kind. Father, we say thank you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For in Jesus' powerful name we have prayed. Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's quickly take our declaration of understanding and then we'll sit down and we'll teach again and then we'll continue to pray. If that sounds good to you, say amen.
Amen.
All right, looks like you're happy with that. Let's take our declaration of understanding as we usually do. One, two, let's go. Now
I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. There's something we've been trying to do for a while and doesn't seem to be connecting yet. Not in a bad way, but in a good way. What I mean is that each time the Holy Spirit will take us in a particular direction, which is what I believe the Lord wants for us each of those times. So let's see how today goes. I began last time trying to get into this, so let's see how it goes now. Remember, I explained to us that at the beginning of the year, my brother and I gathered to pray. And at the end, the Lord gave us of this, I believe by the Spirit of God, these seven dedications of a thirsty soul. Seven dedications of a thirsty soul, we said. A fact is that it is what you really, now listen to this, I've said it before, I just want to say it again. What you really get in life is what you are looking for. Yes, it's just that many times we are looking for things we don't know. How are you getting my point? They came to Jesus, remember? What did he say to them? You don't know what you're asking for. They asked for it, but they didn't know what it was. So it's possible to be pursuing something and you don't know. He said to them, "You do not know what you are asking for." They came and said, "Grant that we will sit on your left and your right, on your right, in your kingdom." The impression they had was that that's a position of, yes, power, but I'm looking for another word. It's a position of power, but, okay, let's use the word honor. Yes. There's power there. There's always power sitting on the left and on the right. But Jesus said to them, no, it's not really a position of honor like that. That is like you just come in for honor. It's a position of service. It's a position that only those who will pass through what I am going to pass through, all right, will be able to get to that place. They didn't go out looking for suffering. You know that. They were looking for a seat. But they did not know that that seat had a lot loaded in it, both in how you will get there and how you will sit there, you will stay there, and what you'll be doing there. Many times people are asking for something, they're just asking for one aspect, the one that is obvious. But then unfortunately, the way life is that God has joined certain things together and your request cannot separate them. Because whatever God has joined together, let no one put asunder. If you say, "Lord, I'm asking for water," you've asked for wet. You know, Englishman will say you cannot separate wet from water. That's a beautiful illustration. So God has joined wet to water. Once you're asking for water, you're asking for wet, even though you don't ask for wet. Do you get the logic there? So that's the way it works, all right? So in life, we're asking for things. Like I said, what we actually get in life is what we're asking for, what we pursue. It's just that for many people, they don't realize many times they don't get exactly what they are pursuing. They think. But they actually got it. There are times people get up in the morning, they are looking for trouble. But they think they are looking for money. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they think they are looking for money. And that's why as Christians, we are not allowed to look for money. What is it we should look for? He told us, Matthew chapter 6, what is it we look for? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And money shall be what?
Added.
We don't look for it. It must be an addition. We don't go out to look for money. We go out to look for the kingdom and his righteousness. And then money will be added unto us. You are getting my point? So you must go out to look for certain. And God, in the scriptures, prescribe what we should look for. We'll tell you. So it's what you really pursue in life that ultimately you get. That's why I tell people that sometimes you tell you that look for multiple streams of income. I said they have something added. It's called what? Let me hear it now.
Multiple streams of trouble.
That's it. It's part of it. See, you don't have to go out looking, say, "Please, can I have multiple streams of trouble?" Just look for multiple streams of income. You will get it. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes. Go and read it again. We studied here a few years ago. The messages are on the website. The book of Ecclesiastes, that's the name of the series. All right? And I've been trying to get it into a book forever. I did one third of it and abandoned it. Just pray for me. Pray for me that grace will come upon me and I'll be serious. You know, sometimes grace is there. You say, "Lord God, give him grace." God said, "What do you think I gave him?" More grace. Said, "The one I gave, let him finish it first." That his problem is that he's not serious. So pray that I will be serious. Amen? That I will use my time well. But you see, the book of Ecclesiastes, you know what it's about? Solomon was a scientist. Many people don't know that. He was not just a king, he was a scientist, he was a poet, he was a songwriter, he was a philosopher, he was a scientist, very importantly. He used to do experiments. That book was an experiment in sociology. That book was an experiment in life. And because I understand scientific publications, I can easily show it to you. You see the opening, the introduction, all right? And you will see his methodology. Then you see the results, and then the conclusions, and then the summary. It's there, clear, just in that same order. If I want to start the teaching, I want to start with what they call synopsis. Summarize the whole thing in a few lines. Where I'm going is this. Solomon, after going up and down, did everything. Say, "Let's pursue money." He pursued money. "Let's get drunk." He got drunk. Let's marry many wives. He did. So I want to have plenty. Go and buy. I like this house. The one I saw in Egypt, never saw a house like this before. Build one. Last time I went by the city of Nineveh, my gosh, you see the kind of field they had, he built them. After everything, you know what he said? They're all vanity. They're a waste of time. They're not worth the effort. That the satisfaction you derive from living in that house cannot justify the amount of effort that went into it. Now, he wasn't saying it out of faith. He was saying it as a result of what? Observation. It was an experiment. And at the end of the day, you know what he said? There's nothing worth pursuing more than fear God, obey his commandments. That's what that was the conclusion of all the studies. That what should you do? Fear God, obey his commandments. So that's the whole duty of man. When the Bible tells you ask for something, ask for it. You know why? God has checked it. This is what you ask for and you won't get trouble with it. So it tells something like, the blessing of God makes rich and does not what? Most things add sorrows, you just don't know. Do you get what I say? Yes, most things add sorrow. They promise beautiful things. They promise a good life. They promise fun. They promise joy. But they add sorrow. Said the only one that doesn't add sorrow is if it's the blessing of God. Now, why he needed to qualify like that is that almost every other thing adds sorrow. Now, see, if you understand the way language goes, all right? The way he said it, everybody understood that sorrow is part of it. You can give birth to a child, and his other name is what? Jabez, thank you. Son of sorrow. Son that brought sorrow. Son that leads to sorrow. That he just, like one man said, that he will give everything in exchange to have peace with this, that is, that if this boy can just be normal. The guy is, no, there are some people there. So I said, God, how do I punish your father? I give him this boy. That is, I want to punish you, just give him this boy. Wake up in the morning, cause trouble. Once your phone rings, you're expecting that he's in trouble again. So the man looked at all his wealth. He said, what am I doing with all of this? And as a child, a son, he came with what? Sorrow. You can have money and it's all sorrow. There's one man I've been quoting it for my family in recent times. But I've forgotten his name. I know he's one of two. Is that if you know American the mafia thing, their history. All those organized crime. Give me their history. Give me the two prominent names. It's one of those two. There's Al Capone and there's another guy. Yes, Al Capone is one. What's the other one? The one that's the corporate criminal that brought order into it. Not Al Capone, the other guy. Huh? You watch film. That's your problem. My friend, go and sit down. He said, Don Corleone. That's not a movie now. I'm talking about in real life. There's Al Capone. The guy I watch with, he said I like. There's Al Capone and there was the other guy. Lucky Luciano. I think he's Lucky Luciano. Yes. You know, he said something. Now, I'm not very certain of which one of them, but let me just say what he said. You know, the man said, he said if he had to live life again, that he won't go for crime. He said because you work as hard for every criminal dollar as you do for the honest one. That he discovered that it's not worth it. That if you give me another chance at life, I'm going to go and earn my dollar the normal, righteous, legal way. He said, because at the end of the day, I found out that I was working as hard for this dirty dollar as people are working for the clean one. And the clean people, police is not chasing them. Nobody's shooting them. They're not shooting people. So the man said, if I come to life again, I'm not going this way. Why am I talking about it? He went looking for plenty of money. You know what he found? More trouble. So by the time he balanced it, he said it wasn't worth it. When you spend all your energy bribing, killing, shooting, and always looking over your shoulder, there's nobody to trust, no friend that lasts long, nothing.
At the end of the day, what do you do with the money? By the time the man checked the amount of effort he put into it, he said, guys, if I'm given the opportunity to do it again, I'm not going this way. It's not worth it. He went looking for money. You know what he found? Plenty of trouble. What you look for in life is what eventually you get. It is just that you may not realize it when you've gotten it. Please, let's bear these things in mind. So what did God give us prayer for? To pursue the right thing. To chase after the right thing. Most of the things people look for in life, God said no. They are not allowed to look for them. They are supposed to wait for me to add those things. I will tell them what to ask for. It's not everything you ask for. I keep on using this illustration. God came and gave Solomon a blank check. I mean, totally blank check. He could ask for anything. Again, please, if God gives you that check again, all right, don't feel anything you like. Ask him, what should I feel? If God says, you can go anywhere you like, stop and say, where should I go? If he takes you to a buffet hall, food on every side, you know what they call food on every side? This one, all kinds of rice. This one, all kinds of beans. This one, all kinds of meat, all kinds of fish, all kinds of, they're planting here, vegetables, their fruits, everything, everywhere. Well, then the Lord takes you and say, what do you think? So, wow, see buffet. You go and eat as much as you want. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say, is there anything? Say, yes, I have a question for you, sir. Say, what is it? What should I eat? Ask him, what should I eat? Don't just say, man, see food. Just small abacha. Add to it. Put the chicken. Then, do you have an elephant tusk? Put that one there. What about monkey liver? Add it. You know why? The fact that he gave you that hot to feast on doesn't mean you won't have diarrhea. No, the fact that he's the one that gave you the whole hot does not mean anything you eat is fine. That it won't run your stomach. No, there are things you eat. And they say, Lord, I ate in your dining hall. Now I have indigestion. I have a running tummy. I've been to the toilet 6 times and it's not yet 8 o'clock this morning. I thought there was no food poisoning. He said, no, there was no food poisoning. All the food, everything was good. So what is wrong? Too much eating. You overate. Lord, I thought it was your buffet hall. Doesn't mean you have sense. When I saw you mixing your pineapple, like I told you, with Gouda, I knew there was a problem. Say, Lord, you didn't stop me. Did I help you swallow the food? Seriously, people just assume that because God that gave it to you, that because it is God, there will be no problem. Not necessarily. If he says, take any, everything is yours, ask him, what should I eat? When should I eat? How long, Lord, do you think I should stay here? You know why I'm saying so? Because you can get in there, eat anyhow, and looking at the angels are just looking at this boy doesn't even have sense. And you're saying that, it's my father's hall. So is that why you are eating like a glutton like this? Why am I talking about it? Solomon, God came and said, ask for anything. And God didn't tell him anything because his father was supposed to have told him. And he was supposed to have learned from his father. So, you know the story. He asked for what he did. Give me wisdom for a purposeful life. That's all? Yes. God said, you forgot the life of your enemies. You forgot more money. Larger kingdom. What else? Long life. So you can enjoy all these things. You didn't ask for any one of them. Then God began to bless him. What does that tell you? He impressed God with his requests. Seriously. He impressed God with the things that he asked for. So he was, that is, even though it wasn't stated, there were rules. It's not every testimony, even though God granted the request, that's exciting as far as God is concerned. I hope you're getting my point. They had power. They had driven them out of the city. The Lord himself and the disciples, the apostles. And they knew they could call fire. They look and say, God, should we call fire? Jesus said, you don't know the kind of spirit you have. He didn't say you don't have this power. He said, that's not why I gave it to you. You shouldn't avenge yourself like this. Leave them. Let's go. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. Yes. That is, see, God gave us prayer to identify. First, we identify the right things to ask for. And we ask for those things. I began to say last time, essentially, the prayer was given to us for a number of things. Of course, praise is a form of prayer, but let's talk about request. When you are making supplications, when you are making intercessions, what we are asking for is just basically one thing, that the will of God will be established. That's what we ask for, that God, first we discover his will, and then we establish that will in our lives. First, last time I gave three things, right? What, remind me. In our heart, that is our spirit and soul, yes, our inner selves, then outwardly, that God has made provision for our bodies, for our supplies and all of that. And last of all, around us, especially in areas where we have what? Control. And I remember I went in talking about the fact that you have a home. God says, establish my will in your household with prayer. You have children, establish my will in the lives of your children with prayer. That everything, God has a desire and has a will for everything. Now let's get back to the primary one I said. So God wants his will established in your own life. That's the first place where he wants you to execute prayer. Where he wants prayer to work in your life. Listen, there's no... Now, I'm going to stay on this one for a moment. Now, I'll get back to my message. If I miss direction, you don't even know where to tell me to go. But just follow this. When I was in NYSA those days, and they still do it till now, in NYSA camp, every morning you used to have the meditations. Somebody will give you a speech. Do you remember? Do they still do it? Yeah. Then I remember the one they gave us, one of those days. He said, watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, they determine your destiny. I've not forgotten that until now. In case you think I didn't watch it yesterday. That was in 1992. My camp was in 92 in Wukari. But the thing, you know, because I'm a spiritual man now, that one hit me. I remember the title of that morning's meditation was Chastity. He said, watch your character. It determines your destiny. You want to know the truth? It's so scriptural. It's so true. It's so true. Please, let me sit on it for a moment. It is so true. It is so true. And see, anything you make a habit determines your character, and that is what is determining your destiny. Let me say, no matter the excuse you have, no matter the love God has for you, and no matter the love you otherwise have for God. Why am I talking about it? David. David lived half the length of life that Jacob, Isaac, and co lived. Almost one third that of Abraham. He lived a relatively short life, you know that. When David was tired and could no longer go to war, when he could not even keep his own body temperature up, he was always having low body temperature. He couldn't keep himself warm. He was only 70. At that time, Caleb had not taken his land. At that time, Moses had not started work. At that time, Abraham had not been called. And also because he started early, when did Joseph too start? I've read my Bible up and down. What caused it? The one bad habit he had. Solomon, he taught Solomon. Solomon now told us, many women collect strength. What did Solomon say? Don't give your strength to women, and that which destroys men. So do we need to be praying about what was wrong with David? I know David doesn't like me saying this, but doesn't come for services here, so he doesn't hear it often. David was a good man, amen? Amen. But, you know what they call it? Mpi, I'll be what they call it. What is that? Yeah, the one that said he good. I didn't say that. I just said it. It wasn't good. It was not necessary. I don't know where he learned it from. I don't know why God couldn't get that thing out of him. I'm sure he tried. God wanted to tell him, David, this is what will ruin your life for. He said, God, now you make them, see as they're fine. He said, see this one, the way she talks. Like somebody said, this one's a bit talk, this one's a bit cooked. Now it'll be admiring different qualities. Now you marry 1,000 women. Now, fact. Eh? I don't have any doubt about it in my heart. You know, that little thing ruined not only his own destiny, that of his dynasty. That also ended the life of the reign of Solomon's son. That is, Solomon began it. The women took strength, spiritual strength, away from David. His character determined his destiny. And you know, when you're reading the scriptures, you have to be careful. Some people just read about David, the man after God's heart, and you copy everything David did. Please, ask the Lord, what should I copy? It is not everything in David you will copy. It's not even Abraham, man of faith. There are things he did. God said, Abraham, don't do it again. Don't teach anybody. Stop telling lies. Is that your wife? No. You know, we're actually siblings. And he said, why did you lie? And I said, it's not a lie. Stop lying. It's a lie. The second lie is also a lie. You get me? Lying that you didn't lie. Like I say all the time, what is the thing about a lie? It's not the accuracy of facts. It's the intention to deceive. That's what makes something a lie. You say things with an intention to deceive. God doesn't want me and you to copy that. A man of faith in the scriptures did some things. They may not be right. Do you follow my point? Yeah, so let's be careful. David was a man after God's heart, but it's not everything about him that God approved of. This is one area God did not approve of what David was doing. But what I'm talking about is that, do you know it affected his destiny, even though God loved him? Sometimes when you're reading scriptures and you say, this will happen to this man, that means it can happen to anybody. No. You don't know why he did. The Bible is small. God doesn't always tell all the whole story. Do you follow my point? There are things they know you're learning somewhere else. It's not in this man's life. And sometimes in the midst of our negative traits, God can take glory. Some people will now camp on it. That despite this happened to Jacob, God said, do you know why he has to suffer like that? He said, if you want to be like Jacob, no problem. See, come. Let me just tell you something. You are going to work 14 years to get your wife. You like that? Then 6 more years, it will change your wages 10 times. You think God liked people changing your wages 10 times? He said, it took me that length of time and effort to correct this guy's spirit. You know what I realized in this life? You know the greatest problem God has? You know the greatest problem he has? It's you and I. Trying to rearrange us. If you say, move hills up and down. He can move it. Mountains will skip before him. What ailed the whole mountain? That you skip like lambs. The Lord is coming. Mountain will rearrange itself. Not a problem. Dry up the sea. Change human being for where? He had to confess, my spirit will not always strive with man. Human beings are hard. Even God finds them difficult. He finds them difficult. He will talk and talk. He say, I know how stubborn-hearted you are. That is, he's telling his own people, what am I asking you for? But to follow these few commandments. But I know you. You are stubborn. He knows human beings behave like mules and donkeys and horses. And you know the truth? He said, why can't he? No, he can't. Because once he uses force to turn you, you're no longer a human being that he made. You're not a robot. And he said, in that case, I mean, I saw manufacture AI. Program everything inside them. And then people said, we praise. The praise is machine praise. It doesn't work. But when you give somebody a free will, the hardest thing God has to contend with in the whole of this universe is our will. When you become a boss, a head of something, a father in the home, whatever, that is when you know how hard human beings are. Hard, the one that used to make me. I'm sure I did it before, so human beings were all like that. That's why God, Jesus had to come and save us. And I said, hey, okay, so you know what's going to happen? Please, 8 o'clock, do this. 8:15, do that. Now, don't do this, don't do that. All right? Yes, everything must be done by 9. Yes, sir. What did I say? 8 o'clock, we bring out maybe we start the car. 8:15, we open the gate. And then we make sure that this young boy doesn't drive and this young girl does not drive. Only, is that clear? Then by 9 o'clock, we move. Is that clear? Yes. Then 9:30, you come. The car has just been started by 9, and then, And then the small boy is the one driving. Then you say, please, what did I say? He said, no, after you left, and we now thought that, you know, you start wondering, excuse me. You know, you want to ask, did you forget what I said? No, it's not like we forgot. I mean, Andrew, did you forget? John, did you forget? No. It's just that what happened was that after that time, we saw EEDC motor pass. And we felt that maybe they want to reconnect the power down the line. And that, you see, it would be better if this small boy is the one behind steering, so that the other one, we older people, can go and help them. I think you are wondering, excuse me, please, can I go over that again? Is it that you forgot what I said? I don't know why you are reacting like this. Then suddenly it's your problem. You are too sensitive. But I've already explained to you. Mr. Steve, but we explained. Are you, by this time around, you are hearing, it's your blood that is boiling. You are hearing the bubbling sound. It's your blood that is boiling and coming out of your nose and your ears. And you're looking at adults. And they are looking at each other like, why is he so upset? That is what now upsets you the most. And if you're a boss, first thing you want to do is fire everybody. But you know what I've learned? I first learned it from John Johnson's book, you know, the founder of Ebony. He said that was one regret he had. He used to fire everybody. But as an older person, he doesn't fire. He will just correct them. And they'll start again. And Mike Murdoch will say, if you're a boss, that this is the outline of your job. 10% is to give instructions. 90% is to repeat them. Initially, I thought, what? No, I know it's to be true. So now, don't forget. Now, let me just give you a tip. If you are the boss in the house, you are the father in the home, you know, you are the mother in the house, you are the boss in an office, they will start in the eye ahead, and I didn't forget. Don't bother. Repeat it. Don't let them push you off. Say, our guy will head. Repeat it. Repeat it. If you ever taken a flight, they will give you that. If I bought a flight now, I can do that demonstration myself. I know what to do. You wear your belt like this, you unbuckle it like this. If oxygen drops, this one fall from you. Wear your own before you help somebody else. Wear your seatbelt throughout the journey if there's trouble. Even if I know the whole instruction. Yet, you will never take off without them going through it again. Even if all of you are frequent flyers. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
Now, you see where I'm going with this whole talk. The most difficult problem God has on this earth. Look at that fellow beside you. You say, look at the other fellow, because he too is a problem. See? This guy is not even looking nice. You see what I'm telling you about him? He's already disobeying the instructions. The Lord is good. We are the worst problems he has. We are. You tell somebody, everything in the garden is there for you to eat. Everything. Everything. Apart from these two. One, not even two. There are two there, but this one, they said, don't eat. Of all the ones there, have you ever asked yourself, David, how many wives did he have? How many women could he get? What was it with Bathsheba? She's the only one bathing. Okay, if that started it, get everybody to bathe. Okay, everybody, come on. Bathing time. The king wants to watch striptease. I mean, everybody strip and bathe. I think not your wives and concubines. They could begin dance. Bathe. No. That spirit starts from the human heart. Came upon him. It was that bad Sheba. That was what ended him. You see what I'm talking about, all of this? Someone want to start praying. Please, not time to pray for shoe and bag. That your stubborn heart. Because you can't change it by yourself. Bring it out. Say, Lord, please, it's today a clinic. Even if it's not clinic, start clinic for me. Heart clinic. You know why Jesus came? You know the number one reason why he came? To give people a new heart. God had to make a covenant. And what's the main aim of that covenant? To give people what? A new heart and a new spirit. A heart that obeys. You know why? Because he gave a simple in the garden, you know, they were not. It's a funny joke. There's a someone said was in a boat. We met one man of God. Every morning, man, we pray, God, have mercy on us. All our, we are sinners. We can't help but sin. He said, after some time, I asked the man, please, excuse me. That I've looked on this boat. There are only two women here. One is your wife. One is my wife. This sin that you can't help but sin. How are you managing to sin? Because there's no word. I mean, how? He said, how are you doing this sin that you say we can't help but sin? We've been on this boat, just me and you, for many weeks. You know what I'm talking about? It. One sin was there for Adam to commit in the garden. He could not look at another man's wife. Could he? There was no other man and there was no other wife. He couldn't steal. Everything in the garden belonged to him. He couldn't covet another person's goods. Nobody else was there to own anything. There was no other God. He had never heard of other gods. He couldn't even kill. Because how you kill, are you getting my point? What will he now do? You know, in all of this, this man still managed to sin. I mean, for us now, we can understand. Do you get my point? Before you leave your house, the temptation is like 17,852. My neighbor has a new dog that barks like an idiot. Bing, 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 bing. The bark annoys me. One day I had to look, but the house is down there. I had to come out, look out of the window. And now look, who is this guy barking at? Nobody. Like, just be barking. The bark was entering my ear. I had to close my windows. I've not left my house. I've already been provoked. You come to your gate, you open your gate, you see tanker has parked there. Do you follow my point? Then you now go to ShopRite. All the women are half naked. You just go to the mall. So you can understand why people sin these days. Yes, temptation is just plenty. Your neighbor, you understand, the tanker driver. Oh, between your gate and the mall. You know the bus drivers. The keke riders that have no license, they don't know their rules to driving. Once they turn the keke and it moves, then they are okay. So at least we can understand why we sin these days, don't we? The temptation. Adam didn't have any of this. He didn't have any of this. The only thing they told him to do, don't eat of this tree. And Bobo could not keep it. In fact, right now, I feel like sending him to hell by myself. Because like I'm now wondering, Oga, okay, if you couldn't keep that, come and stay in Enugu now. No, do you get my point? Come and live where we are living. Where we have to contend and contend and contend and contend. That's how difficult the human heart is. That's how difficult it is. That's how difficult it is. What am I going to say? When they now give you prayer. Oh boy, you should know the real problems of life. You should know the real problems of life. It's not food. It's your character. Is your destiny that we are talking about. Because it is shaped by all these things. So you should know if your name is David and you have to live life again. See, I tell that story all the time because I've not seen anyone better. Ben Carson had an anger problem. You know what he did? He entered into the closet and didn't come out until God had solved the anger problem for him. You know, I was talking to my wife the other day about one guy who would do business with. I said, he has started this thing again. Is this the second time? Is this the second time? No, this is not the second time. I said, by the time he does this, this is like his third time. I said, next time I take my business elsewhere. They start telling you what? The witches, they said they will not prosper. They are raising 7 altars. They are burning candles. There's nothing wrong. Nobody's raising altars. Nobody's burning candles. What's the problem he has? His character when it comes to doing business. Now let me say this again. You can't change yourself. You think David will just come and say, Please, oh guys, I know they do it again. Bathsheba go just say, oh God, are you serious? Hey, that's it, he has fallen again. Anytime you fall for anything in life, it's a prayer point. It's not a New Year resolution. What is it?
Prayer points.
Jesus gave it to us like that. He said, pray like this. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from doing evil. People don't know how to, you know, people say, they always think about deliver us from evil. That is, you are just going, evil just happens to you. No, that's not what he meant. What he said is that, Lord, don't let us do evil. That prayer does not mean, do not let evil come to me. What that prayer means is, don't lead me into temptation. Temptation causes people to do evil. Deliver me from doing evil. You cannot refuse to do evil by yourself. You have to be strengthened to resist temptation. Because there are different types of temptations. There are simple temptations still. Those are the simple ones. But there are real temptations. Those are the simple ones. You are not hungry, they say still. You are married, one woman is doing eye like this for you. And you are still going. You see, you are a fool. The Bible calls you a fool. Do you follow my point? Yes, that's foolishness. All right? I mean, you know when they wanted to rebuke David, you know how they rebuked him? When Nathan came, you know what he said? He said there was one man. He had a lot of goats, a lot of sheep, had a lot of everything. You know what those sheep and goats were? David's wives and concubines. So yet a stranger passed by. What is a stranger? His lust, his passion, his desire. And then there was one neighbor that had only one little kid, a goat, small goat. Who was that neighbor? Uriah. That little goat? Another person's wife. And what was the rebuke? So, even as so, your visitor take her arrive. Why didn't you enter into your flock and take one? Do you get my point? David fell for a very useless temptation. That was not a strong one. I'm sorry. It wasn't a strong temptation. Because there were options. Do you follow my point? Yeah, they were. And that's what God told him. God, the prophet told him like that. Now, so that's why I call it small temptation. That's not a big temptation. You know what they call temptation? Let me tell what they call temptation. When you hear the sound of the psaltery and the harp and the flute and all of those instruments that they are playing, you will bow to this God who I throw you into fire. That is a temptation. That's a temptation. If David said, call Bathsheba, and she locked the door, she just, would David die? No, would David die? His life was not at risk. He was just behaving badly. But this one, if they toss into the fire, and the fourth man doesn't go ahead of you, that's why you know sometimes human beings can sublime. You know what they call sublimation? Transform from solid straight to gas without passing through liquid state. That's how hot that was a temptation. Now let me tell you something about God. Everybody listen to this. So what if I fall for that, he will understand? He doesn't understand. He will know the fire is hot. No. He will still hold you liable. Do you know why? He said, when you saw the fire, why didn't you come to pray? Because if you had come to pray, I would have given you the same strength that I gave to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah, fact. Please, let's not go through life justifying everything. This is Nigeria, we understand. No. No, no, no. Because, no, you should have come to pray. Like now, we're laughing with Adam just now, and about Adam, who didn't have all the temptations we have. Why do you think we are behaving better than Adam? It's simple. Because where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. That's it. I shouldn't forget to add that one to it. That's the issue. Because the temptations are plenty all over the place. In the same way, God has done what? Given grace in abundance. So you never can give the temptations as the reason for falling into sin. God will say, why didn't you ask for grace? Why did you not ask for grace? Everything in life, God gives us opportunities of escape. He knows it is powerful. The thing is strong, very strong. No human being can resist. So I made grace available. So he told us in that book of Hebrews chapter 4, we should go to what? The throne of what? Grace. They will obtain mercy and find what? Grace to help in the time of strong temptation. That's what he called need. So what should we do with prayer? Brethren, the church will gather And people will just gather and ask them, what are they praying for? They have not yet handled the things that affect their destiny. That was why we began this year talking about the seven consecrations of a thirsty soul. That's what prayer is about. What are the things that actually affect my destiny? What are the things that actually affect my destiny? It's not the food I don't have. That's not what affects my destiny. It's not the job I don't have. That doesn't determine my destiny. There are certain spiritual traits. I go through this fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, and all those things, and faithfulness. And I don't find them complete in my life. It's a prayer point. Like I said the other time, sometimes I see people demonstrate patience. Look, and I traveled the other day. I said, I don't look at. Now I know I'm older than you. Now I know I have more experience. I've prayed more than you. How do I know? Someone wanted to shunt. Well, I won't struggle. I said, with my car. My friend, will you move? You know, he wanted to fight back. I said, Unduka, hey, wait. I said, I gave him a lecture. I said, well, you're right. Of course, you have the right of will. If he jams, do you think we are going to get to where we are going? No. How long do you think we'll stay here explaining who was right and who was wrong? I said, boy, kill that pride. I said, have you driven in Lagos before? He said, no. I said, no wonder. I said, in Lagos, one of the things I was talking as I drive in Lagos, know when you have been beaten. Don't struggle for the space. It's gone, it's gone. I said, I'm just going like the one bus who just said, you want, it's, just relax. Young Gage, and say, if I go that way, off the bridge, I'm dropping off. Just leave the guy. Just vex in your soul. But now, no need to even vex again. Once he enters, like my father-in-law told me one story one day, very interesting. Say one day, he was driving on the road in Benin. One bus driver came. You know the way they behave sometimes. So there was a small, issue. So the bus driver stuck out his head. Say, you did craze? And the old man looked back and said, no, what about you? Even the bus driver had to laugh. There was a time, I'm telling you, I've done it before. I will pursue that driver. Catch up with him and say, come, what did he say just now? Okay, now think about it. He will say, I asked whether you were crazy. What will you now do? Do you get my point? At the end of the day, okay, what will you now do now? God has helped me in that area. A lot of times this is what I want to just do something. I just shake my head and say, I don't want to remember. I don't want to notice. You know what? It has calmed me down. It has calmed me what? Down. It's called patience. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes I see people demonstrate some levels of patience. No, one day, let me tell you one story that will make you laugh. My friend and I were going to somewhere, I think we were going somewhere along this Port Harcourt Express. Long ago, I'm telling you, it's more than 15 years ago. I was driving. We were driving a 300E. I was driving a 300, no V-boot. Uh-huh. I was on driving. I was driving. There was some woman driving an S-Class. You know, this like either 500 or 280S. And the old man was going at like 80 kilometers an hour. And I looked like, what? You waste this kind of car like this? I blew past him. Boom! And as we're going. Then we stopped where there had been an accident. And we saw where they kept the dead body of the driver of the bus. And so we slowed down. The old man just overtook us and continued going at 80 kilometers. I now understood why the old man was slow. That's how my friend and I slowed down. And we're just driving as we're old too. We're not old. We were not old. It was we saw the scene of an accident. And we saw literal dead people. And now we slow down. It's called the work of patience. With patience, you possess your soul. You possess your driving so you will get home safely. That's what you do with the prayer. That's what you do with prayer. When you see some demonstrations of patience, and like, God, why is somebody this patient and I'm this arrogant? I'm this brash. I'm this impatient. I'm this touchy. If you've had a character issue, you didn't plan it like that. You don't even know when it came upon you. You are born again, but the spirit has been defiled. That's what we are saying. Yes. Do you know that's the primary thing we are supposed to do with prayer? But we are using prayer, you know, the one that's very common in African churches, to pursue enemies. And God said, listen, the real enemy, you have not pursued him. The real enemy is somewhere that you are not thinking about. The real enemy is inside you. What is the real enemy? Why is that when you talk, we have to confirm? You ruthlessly defend yourself instead of ruthlessly telling the truth. And then you have to speak. Is how does this affect my outlook? Not is this true or is it false? And let me tell you something about Christians. Eh? You know, Paul said, if we judge ourselves, Elder John, you know we've done that study here again and again. If we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. See, every one of those negative things, that's what I'm talking about, our destiny, will be judged by God. He said, if we are judged, we are being disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned with the world. Now, basically, any flaw you find in yourself is going to cause you trouble. That's the summary of it. Any flaw. That's why I started with David. No matter how good a Christian you think you are, any flaw that you allow to persist in your person will cause you trouble. It will cause you trouble. Like Paul was talking about it. That don't let any root of bitterness spring up and many be defiled. It troubles people. Any negative thing you allow persist inside you will cause you trouble. It will certainly cause you trouble. It's when and how much trouble that's the issue. But it will never happen that it won't cause you trouble. One of the troubles it causes, first of all, is the Lord by himself saying, let me handle this thing. And you know one problem we have in today's Christianity, our doctrines, is that when some of those troubles come, we start asking, is somebody's responsible or is the devil? And we so glorify this devil. We don't ask ourselves, what is the thing inside me that is being disciplined? Paul said, for this cause many are sick amongst you. Many are weak. And many even what? Sleep. That's Paul's way of describing what? Death. There's something that you don't judge it. It can lead to premature death. Unfortunately, many of us may not even know exactly what it is. And some of those things, they appear so mild. We've talked before about the sin unto death and the sin that is not unto death. The difference between the sin unto death and the one that's not unto death, according to John, in his epistle in 1 John, is not how severe it is. It's whether you have been corrected or you have not been corrected. Because that death also has dimensions. The death also has dimensions. I hope you're following what I'm going to say here. Listen, many things that cause serious problems in life. Let me give you an example now. Now this looks very trivial, very, very trivial. I have a small handkerchief here, all right? Let us assume I keep it here all the time. And it has the habit of falling over, all right? It's a very small thing. And the Lord now points out to me one day, Banky, stop keeping that handkerchief there. It's not good for you to be falling on the floor. And then I keep on doing it. And it points out to me again. And then one day, now listen to what I want to say. Please don't misunderstand me. And then one day he wants to show me that what he's saying is serious. I keep it there first. I want to pick it up. Then one way or the other, I lose my balance and fall on my shoulder and I dislocate it. He said, sorry, sir. The Lord said, but I told you, stop keeping. Now, he tripped you over. Forget that. He said, it's the devil. It's not the devil. The Lord said, told one angel, knock that guy. Knock his elbow, his shoulder. What do you call that? Yes, his shoulder joint. Knock it out of joint. And the only way the angel can explain is that I fell. So you trip me over, I'll fall. And that's what they call the discipline of the Lord. If I get up and come back and say, it doesn't matter, it's not handkerchief. Now, I deliberately use handkerchief and this position on this table because it's a very, very trivial thing. It's very trivial. But if the Lord decides to talk about it, it's no longer trivial. Now, when you don't do what he said, your sin has now gone from negligence to disobedience. So it knocks out your shoulder, hoping you pay attention to that. If you still don't, it kills you early over a handkerchief. Over a handkerchief. Now, this is the point I'm making. Nobody will believe that was what happened. Even if I'm the one preaching, I'll say there must be something inside that handkerchief that we have not yet discovered. God said, Banky, there's nothing inside the handkerchief more than the fact that I mentioned I don't want it here. And I made it clear to him I don't want you. There was a day I had his shoulder dislocated so he would get the point. Not about the handkerchief now, but that I have spoken. This is an important thing I'm talking about today, all right? You know, if you read the story of, if you read the book of Revelation, let's go there quickly. Revelation chapter 2. People of God, let's not joke with this character issue. The work of the Holy Spirit, one of the major things he does in us, is to point out these things little by little. Some of them will appear small, but please don't think it's small. Now listen to this carefully. Verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this. Now please follow this. I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance. Good thing so. And that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance. Please notice that. Verse 3. And you have perseverance. Let me read the New Living Translation there. It says, you have patiently suffered for me without quitting. Did you notice that? Is that good or bad? Is that powerful or not? Answer me. Is that powerful or not? He said, but I have this against you. One thing, that you have left your first love. That thing was not told us clearly there. He said, now therefore remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first. Listen to this. Or else I am coming to you and I will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. He said, you do have this anyway. That you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And I say, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let me stop there. What I want to bring out here is this. Can you see the things they had on their side? They hated what God hated, the deeds of the Nicolaitans, truffles. They patiently endured that verse 3 and did not grow weary. They didn't quit, truffles. They were not tolerant of false apostles. They have perseverance. They do not tolerate evil people. Yet, their whole assembly was going to be closed. God was going to shut down the church because of one thing, not two things. Now, if you could count these things like five powerful things. Yet, God said there is one thing. If you don't make amends concerning that, I am going to shut you down. I will remove, that's what it means. I'm going to close the church. They say this place used to be Christian, now it's now Islamic, because they did not go back to their first love. What exactly that was? Well, I've heard different teachings. One man said that it's simple. It was love for each other. That they did not love each other enough. So despite all these things that they were doing. Now, was it love for each other? Let's not sit on it now. But the point is that despite all the good deeds, they were still going to be shut down. So sometimes you see bad things happen to good people. Did you catch what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And you're wondering why. Because I know your problem. You can see all the good things. You don't know, I was not looking at all the goodness. Just one thing that looks small to you. If I were to tell you, you wouldn't believe, so I won't tell you. I'm not preaching so you can go and judge somebody else. I'm preaching so that you'll be afraid for your own life. I'm preaching so that you get my point? See, let me tell you something. Once the Holy Spirit brings that thing up, once the Holy Spirit brings it up, please don't say it's a small thing. One day I said something, you know, of course, something you all know. I just posted something on Twitter. Then I used to do tweets, but now I hardly do that these days, all right? One of those days, I said that the tweet was April 1. So it was early morning, April 1. I woke up early and I posted a scripture that from Proverbs that says, as a madman that casts firebrands and arrows, so is the man that deceives his neighbor. And says, I was only joking, all right? Now, that's Proverbs 26, verse 19. That's from 18 to 19, yeah, 18 to 19. Now, somebody say, won't somebody joke again? I just posted that. What is April 1? April Fool's Day, all right, Fool's Day. So what do people do? What's the fun? You deceive your neighbor and say it's a joke. So one day I read in the scriptures and I stopped.
I mean, what I'm telling you now is over 30 years ago that I stopped. Yeah, I was on campus when I read this. So people say, nah, well, I will not joke. Can't somebody just joke small? Now, joke small is okay. I hope you're getting my point. I never have a problem with you joking small. But the moment a scripture came and pointed a finger on that practice, I had to stop. Many people may not like this, but it's fact. If you heard the word the way I heard it, if it hit you the way it hits me, if you continued, you would die shorter, you die earlier than you're supposed to. Yeah, it's called stubbornness. Now, it looks like a small thing. It looks like a small thing. We are too tolerant of small things, not knowing God is going to judge them as if they were big. It's not judging the thing in itself. It's judging the fact that it has been converted from the sin not unto death to a sin unto death by correction. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yeah. So it's no longer judging the not weighty matter of the law now. No. What it's judging now is that I have sent correction to you on this matter again and again. And why you cannot just sit down and say it's small is that you don't know exactly what it is doing. When I was younger, sometimes you're in a church. I was talking with this is our brother when we were on our trip. He said he was in a church and one man came and said, all right, now listen to this. And I think I should address it openly. A man came to their church and he was doing fire brigade money raising. Can you remind me of some of the things he said? He said, you bring oil and water. He brought oil and water, something like that. Okay, everybody brought oil and water, yes. Then they now sow the seed. Now call people forward. If you are going to sow dangerously, come forward. He collected car, he collected land, he collected all kinds of things. And then he'll bless the oil and bless the water. Now he said something. This is our guy here. The whole congregation went forward. He stood on his seat and said, I'm not going anywhere. Later on, the pastor told me he had to leave the church. And I told him that the pastor was right. Because you see, your spirit has no longer aligned in the same direction. What you did was not wrong. But when the man said, two of you can no longer work together, I said, he was absolutely right. But that's not what I want to talk about. He said, now went to one of his friends. No, that one took the oil and the water, or sand. Oil and water. And his wife took it and was going home. Listen to this. The guy's an assistant pastor in the church. His wife took him, wanted to enter the house, told the wife, you threw those things out. Don't carry that nonsense to my house. You didn't catch it? In front of the congregation, he collected it, knowing it was wrong. Then when his wife wanted to take it, he told the wife, please, throw that nonsense out of. Don't carry it into my house. So he asked him, but in church, you are an assistant pastor. What sign did you give to everybody? Some of us do those things. God will judge you too. You want to know the truth? If you have ever given me a hint of correction like I'm giving now, the next time something like that happens, any problem they have, you will have four times as a result of that stuff. One day, one of our brethren told me something that in their church, I'll just color it a bit. They were going to invite a fire brigade money gatherer. All right? These are ones that go with the spirit of Mammon and Python spirit to raise money. So they now told them, in church, listen to this carefully. They had a leaders meeting. And they said, the leaders, please, when the man calls for 5 million, please, all of you should try and stand up. Oh. If he calls for 3 million, you should try and stand up. Oh. So one of the brothers there now put up his hand and said, excuse me, I don't think I have 3 million naira to give. They said, no, it doesn't matter. It's just that you're a leader. So you will stand up to encourage other people. You are free. You don't have to give it. So the day came, the man called for 3 million, 5 million, and they were standing up all over the place. Meanwhile, they didn't have the money, and they were not planning to give. I told this brother, I said, listen to me. You are lucky it's now you are telling me this. Otherwise, I would have made you pay that money, even if you had to borrow it. Look, I didn't even have to scare you. Once I teach you scripture for 5 minutes, you go and look for money and you pay. That's deception. This was said to them by the pastor of their church in the leaders' meeting. Those children of those people will cheat. They will cheat in exam. Those men, their wives will lie to them. Those husbands will lie to their wives. See, you cannot be in that kind. It's a cesspool of iniquity. It's immorality you people are cooking up. Go and read my book, Worship and Sex Control. Those men will commit adultery. Look, listen, you can't sit down there
and be allowing deception, you know, be discussed amongst church leaders. Some of the things we said with say are small. God doesn't see them as small. You may think it's small. I mean, what's the big deal that you are chasing me, your name is Saul, my name is David, I finally got you and I killed you. I mean, what is the big deal about it? Okay, it's the Lord's anointing. Let's not lay our hands. Then I cut the edge of your cloth. And I still have a conscience problem. Where am I going? There were instructions that David was given. So ordinary slicing, he was not supposed to as much as tap saw like this. Why? I don't know. I've read the scriptures a lot. I don't know till now. He took the edge of a man's robe, sliced it off, just to prove to the man that I was there, sir. I could have killed you. Yet he had a conscience problem. You know what I'm going to tell you? What you think is small may not be small in the eyes of the Lord. It may not be small in the eyes of the Lord. So if he points out something as out of order, my brother, my sister, sit on it and correct it. But that's not that's part of the message. But the main thing I'm bringing is, how do you correct it by your own energy? How do we correct? Is it by our energy? Is it by our own determination, so to speak? How do we do it? Prayer, that's it. That is a beautiful advantage we have as believers. Listen, let me tell you the truth here. Anything you are fully convinced concerning along these lines, and you pray about it, you will see grace supplied abundantly. One major reason why people don't experience grace, because grace does not accept compromise. What I'm going to say is this. Once you make excuses, grace will not come. Once there's something like, look, you lie too much. Say, no, you don't understand. Sometimes the situation, once you start like that, grace will just disappear. But if you just say, yes, my words are not trustworthy, the way grace will come, next time they will ask you to tell the truth in such a manner that your life may be in danger, and you will find that you cannot even lie. The idea will not even cross your mind. You open your mouth to tell something that's false, the truth will come out. That is what's called grace. So what do we do with that? What do we do with prayer? That's what I'm making. This is the first place where prayer is supposed to work. We often relegate it to the last. How many prayer meetings do you go to in church or online? This is, most of our prayers have moved on to, they've moved online, right? I'm not saying anything bad about it, just a fact, right? Yeah. Please, join many of them and check how many of them, how much of the time do we take time out to dissect ourselves? And we'll say, today, I am going to say to God, this tongue will not lie again. I am going to say to God, this body I place upon your altar, the body is not for sexual immorality. In the name of Jesus, begin to pray. Lie will not come. Brethren, please. Maybe I'm making it up. Go and check. When you have finished doing the survey, if you can get 1%. Yeah, no, go and do the survey. Will you get 1%? It's hardly a prayer point. How many times do we go out and say in this country we are to be held responsible for the corruption? So we say, we Christians, in the name of Jesus, even if the children will not be able to go to school next week, in the name of Jesus, even if I will not be able to buy food, oh God, I will not take a dime that is not mine. Begin to pray. In fact, you're already laughing at me, you know? Because you're just thinking, see? I know the truth. Let's be honest. Then okay, this one that you want to start early morning prayer. See, if you try that one, nobody's joining. No, this one I'm telling you now. Go and start with it. You think he'll join you? It's only people like maybe all these people here on first row with you, led by that ministry. Let's just encourage him. The average person on the road, they don't know what your problem might be. They don't understand what the problem might be. And that's the brother Chip, because I didn't see you during prayer. I said, you are not serious. Did you see yourself during prayer? Did you see what you were praying? You want to now hold you style to hold me responsible for the corruption in Nigeria? How much stealing am I doing? It's just 5% I put when they come. In my office. I don't even put percentage. I just tell them that before they can see Oga, they should see me first. That's all. And you now turn it to prayer point. you now turn me to prayer point. Next morning, the guy said, I know they use YouTube again. I don't commit YouTube on my phone. People of God, you know, that's the main thing God expects us to use prayer for. I said earlier, and I mean it again. See, that is the worst, that's the most difficult thing God has to do. That is the most difficult thing he has to contend with. Yeah. Stubborn hearts. People that he gives simple and straightforward instructions to, and they don't seem to have the capacity to obey them. Again, you know what? Let's take it literally the way he said it. Jesus said, without me, you can do what?
Nothing.
Why do we gather to study a prayer like this? It's to know where our help is. Don't forget, there is no flaw in your character. There's no flaw in your soul. There's no flaw in your personality that's not cutting something short from your destiny. There's none. What God does for you as an advantage, being a believer, being a child of God, is that he reveals it to you. And only reveals it to you if you put a, you know, you put an open prayer before him. And say to him, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any hurtful thing in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. You have to deliberately pray that prayer to him. And then get ready. Because when it starts on your matter, you have to even pray for patience to endure him. Because a time will come and say, God, take it easy now. Abba. You know, the other day I was chatting. You know, I chat with my classmates. So I wanted to post something that was very negative about somebody, a politician, not a Nigerian politician. Somebody, I was the one that said it. So I collected it, looked for it, cropped it. I wanted to put it. I'd arrange it just to click send. It's not the Holy Spirit, all right? It's my spirit. Say, Vanki, is this a good thing? I said, well, I ain't talking now. That's not the question. Is it a good thing? You know, I look for every way to justify posting that thing. Now, I'm not the one that said it. Somebody said something negative about a politician in another country. So it's not Nigeria at all. All right? So the politician's matter now came up. That's what we're talking about. And I said, well, this man has said this before now. So I want to just post to make people laugh. And look at what this other... Very caustic stuff. He said, wannabe politician of dubious convictions with... He said, a self-loathing wannabe politician with dubious convictions. That's how I describe this fellow. And the day he said it, we said, hey, we were saying this person bad, though. You don't add your own. Your own is even worse. And he said it weeks ago. I wanted to repost it. My spirit now said, I didn't say Holy Spirit. That's Holy Spirit. My spirit just said, Banky, wait. This thing now, is it good? I said, no. Why do you want to post it again? I said, well, it's sweet. So I asked myself, Pastor, is this edifying? I use all the reluctance in me to wipe such a beautiful statement and exited and didn't post it. I felt bad. In quote. But you know one reason why I didn't post it? I didn't want to kill that voice. That conscience, because you say it's a small thing. If you keep on saying it's a small thing, one day it will stop talking. That's where I'm going. One day it will stop talking. You won't know when you will not acquire a reputation for being a very caustic and negative human being. And God will say, my spirit will not always strive with man. I left you alone. I used to warn you about this thing 3 years ago, but you wouldn't stop. A time comes, it starts blocking doors for you. You are a minister. It closes doors. They said that guy, his spirit is bad. And you wonder where the person got the idea from. You are a business person. They say, who do? Ah, said that guy, the way he's so negative about things, I don't think I can handle it. And we're talking about 2.5 billion naira worth of business just walked out of your door, which God wanted you to have, and your character rejected. It becomes a big thing if God corrects you about it. It becomes big. It's not about whether you think is. The Bible talks about the little foxes that spoil the vine. When I was a little boy, I couldn't understand why God rejected Saul and tolerated David. Until I became old and they began to show it to us. that he said disobedience is like a sin of witchcraft. He said to obey is better than to offer a sacrifice. I hope you get my point. Little things like God said, go, do this. You didn't do it. God said, you have become one like one who worship idols. What is that you do? You don't obey what I tell you. Now, but you keep on saying, you know, and let me tell you something. If you are being rebuked, especially by a senior, never have this attitude of, don't make a big deal out of it. I find it to be a very horrible attitude. It shows not only have you done what is wrong, you cannot even be corrected. I've been warning everybody, don't ever be in a position where you can't be corrected. Your seniors will look at you and say, I believe him, he doesn't listen. You can never tell your senior he's making a big deal out of something. Who are you to judge? You cannot be the judge in that kind of situation. For adventure, you don't know how big a deal it is. You don't know. Look, I work in the medical sector. You know, there are little things that they, that maybe like, you get to them and say, look, there's a container for sharps. You don't pick up. You don't need to. You don't need to. One of the trainings that you don't cap a needle, but once you use it, you don't cap it back. It sounds very simple. Like, what is the big deal? Keep capping it back. One day, somebody, HIV patient, the needle is going to pass through your hand and come on the other side. You know what they said to you, don't cap a needle back. It's for your own safety. Some people think that they are too powerful. I'm very careful. They say, leave that needle. There are techniques for, you've used the needle. The idea of returning the cover back has been decided to be dangerous. So there's a way for, okay, you've used it. Use the needle to pick the cover and toss it. There are things you look there, this is a small thing. If your seniors say it's not small, trust me, it is not small. It's a sign of stubbornness to be telling your senior, why are you making a big deal out of this? Notice our 7 consecrations. Let me get back to it. The 7 consecrations of a thirsty soul. Why am I talking about it again? What do we do with prayer? Remember, let me go over the consecrations. Number 1, we dedicated ourselves to pursue a deep and serious walk of faith. I won't start teaching that again, but just remember, we must pursue what? A deep and serious walk of faith. Then we said number 2, we dedicated ourselves to prayer with thanksgiving and what? Intercession. I need to say something about that. Just a reminder, just for 1 minute. Always be grateful. Make it a habit to always give thanks. That's 1. Number 2, following this, our dedications. Whatever office you occupy in life, what's your primary assignment? To pray. To intercede. Intercession. To make supplications on behalf of other persons. So if you say, I'm a father, it means you have children that you must, that is, regularly, daily, offer prayers before God for them. All forms of prayers. If you say, I'm a citizen of a country, it means you must daily, regularly, offer up prayers before God on behalf of your nation. If you say, I'm a wife, you have a husband to pray for. If you say, I'm a husband, you have a wife to pray for. If you say, I'm a friend, you have a friend to pray for. If you say, I'm a pastor, you have what? A congregation to pray for. And if you say, I'm a congregant, you have a leadership to pray for. You have a church to pray for. Every title is an intercessory responsibility. If you're looking for what to quote, quote that one. What did I say?
Every title is an intercessory responsibility.
Yes, it's an intercessory responsibility. Don't forget it. For different areas, just select a few scriptures and memorize them. Use them to pray. Make a few requests. Don't forget that. That's the second thing we say is our dedication. Next, and let me just go into that. And that's what we're going to be using to pray now. Now, before we go, that number 3 is to, we're making a dedication to the word dwelling richly in our hearts. Now, before we go to reading the scripture about that, I just want us to quickly go back to that Psalm
No, Psalm, is it 51? Psalm 139, sorry. Please, I want us to pray. We're going to pray. You know, I said something up till now concerning the character and destiny. And I said every negative thing inside our souls, every negative in our hearts is removing something from our destiny. You see, there's no way around it. It's the reason why I began today talking about David, a man after God's heart, a man that God loved, a man that God used to name Jesus Christ. He was called the Son of David. A man that God gave an oath that his throne will survive forever. Beautiful man. Yet, a huge chunk of his destiny was cut short by certain things in his heart. I use that, David, to let us know that there's no defense. There's no plea. You cannot say, I'm a great man of God. I'm a great giver. I'm a great woman of God. I'm a great intercessor. I don't care how anointed you are. Every negative trait left in your heart is cutting something away from your prosperity. I don't care how dedicated you are. Every negative trait in your heart is cutting away from what God wants to do through you. I don't care how dedicated you have been in different aspects. We saw the church in Ephesus. Just one thing. The apostle said it was love for one another, that they were so dedicated to each other at the beginning. Let's just take that one as an example. Yet, they were not tolerating false apostles. They hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which God said himself he also hated. They suffered for his name and never gave up. Yet God said, for not loving each other, I'm shutting you down. I'm coming to remove your candlesticks from his place. People of God, shouldn't you be afraid and careful? Because unconsciously, you know, some of us who pray a lot, who study a lot, who preach a lot, these three things, or who give a lot. Those are the four things. So our bragging rights as Pentecostals. Some man preaching said, they said, can you pray for 5 hours? He said, that's a small thing. I said, okay, this ability to pray has become a bragging thing. And you now begin to pray. At the end of the day, say, God must do something for you. God said, thank you for praying. You still die on time. Yes, because you after praying like this, you can't even tell the truth. You say, God said to me, I didn't talk to you. Kenneth Hagin is one of the most powerful men during their days. The revival days in America then. The man was 36 when he died. You know what killed him? He loved food too much. And he was not working in love towards other ministers. Yet he was one of the biggest preachers in the country. Because the guy is a glutton. Chop, 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 chop. Very envious of other people. Those two things. The Lord told him to go and tell him. That's going to kill him soon. Nobody could correct him. They left him. 36 just collapsed and died. That's why I said, let's open to this Psalm 139. We're going to take 2 minutes and pray with it. Everybody, read it loud from verse 23. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Psalm 139 from verse 23. That's our first prayer this evening. Before we now go to the rest of our dedications. Are you ready? One, two, let's go. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me. And lead me in the everlasting will. Let's read it one more time. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me. And lead me in the everlasting will. Now, you pray for yourself. I'll give you a minute. That's what they call meditation. Use this one, you know, as a meditation, a prayer to God. With the background of the things that I've said now, you know what exactly you are saying. Sometimes we are hiding sins in our hearts, things we are supposed to confess. Maybe somebody we offended. These things are chipping away from our destiny. That's the point I'm making. Is the destiny we are talking about? These things are chipping away from our destinies. They are chipping away, just carving it away little by little. I'm telling you, people who are supposed to live to be 100, because they don't pray this prayer, they will die at 85 and will be excited that this person lived long. People who are supposed to affect hundreds of millions, they will affect 10 million, 20 billion. I will be so excited for them.
We will not know that destinies have been cut short. I read my scriptures. There's no reason on earth to believe that David was supposed to go at that time. But that he had become weakened. His strength departed from him. It was not for the wars he fought. No. It wasn't for the wars he fought. It was for little things like not being able to bridle his lust. Every color of woman he had not had before he wanted. So that, by my own estimate, a time came 12 women, more than 10 women were pregnant at the same time, and only this guy was responsible. That's not right. God didn't say much about it. He says it's because of the times of ignorance. God just winked over those things. But he never, never blesses disobedience. He doesn't. Even if you say you don't know, it may not hurt you fully, but you won't be blessed for it. If there's a blessing attached to certain thing that you are not doing, you will not get it. So pray that prayer. Say, Lord, whatever be the thing in me that's hurting my destiny, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. He said, try me, O Lord. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. When I said no, it wasn't that God wanted to know or that God should know. It's that God will reveal. Point out anything in me that offends you. That's what New Living Translation says in verse 14. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. I remember one day we were in church. I prayed this prayer. You know, God answered me so heavily, I fell into my chair. I didn't sit down. I fell into the chair. It was as if I was afraid to say, God. It's like you've made plans. Next week, you're supposed to relocate from Enugu, maybe go somewhere else. You now pray this prayer today. And God now says, those plans are yours, not mine. And you think of all you have invested. But let's pray for grace. Say, Lord, give me grace to hear. That's another thing. Say, Lord, give me the grace to hear. Give me the grace to hear. Give me the grace to hear. To receive that which you are saying. I know it might be heavy, but give me the grace to hear. Give me the grace also. That's the first thing. Grace to receive correction. Grace to receive redirection. Grace for realignment. Grace to receive what the Spirit is saying. It's an important prayer. Brethren, this is not a joke. Pick different aspects of your life. Say, Lord, you know I have plans concerning my ministry. Whatever I'm saying, I'm planning, that's not yours. Please. What's my motivation? There are times I tell myself, I remember those people who say that, you see, if I get this money now, I'll be able to, I say, God, please, that's what I tell myself. But what really am I saying? Because the heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful. The heart is deceitful. There are many things I've tried to do sometimes, you know, just to let things go. Say, God, I've let it go plenty now, but why don't I get more money from here? God say, forget that, you know. I will use all kinds of excuses. God said, okay, fine, I've heard your excuse. Then I try it and it fails. I say, God, you see what I was telling you? He's mindful, he says, that we are but flesh. So that flesh in us that's obstructing the voice of the Spirit, grace is required to remove it, to move it aside. So pray this evening. Say, Lord, grace to hear what you are saying. Grace to obey what you are saying. That is what I'm asking for. Grace to hear what you are saying. Grace to obey. I have plans concerning marriage. I'm planning to marry. These are the thoughts, because these plans are derived from thoughts. Many of those thoughts, David calls them what? Anxious thoughts. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. Decisions being made because of anxiety, because of fear of tomorrow. There are those who are moving from one place to the other, not because today is not good enough for them, but they say, what will tomorrow hold is called an anxious thought. See, any child of God can make the right decision if they have the right thoughts. And it's not go or don't go that's God's primary issue. It's what are the thoughts? What are the anxious thoughts? What are the anxious thoughts pushing you in that direction? That's what the Lord is actually handling. So you need to say to God, please help me. Even when it comes to choice of marriage, choice of jobs, choice of a nation or city to live in many of them we are being dictated to by anxious thoughts. And we don't know. We think we are being dictated to by wise planning. We think sometimes that we are being dictated to by our devotion to God. But God said, no, it's just anxious thoughts. There are many people say, go out. This is the kind of ministry you will run. Say, where will money come from? Anxious thoughts. Meanwhile, this is the word of the Lord to you. He said, when I sent you out without purse or scrip, did you lack anything? He said, I am thy shield, your exceeding great reward. That's what God is saying. He said, Lord, cure me of anxious thoughts. Brennan, that's what prayer is for. To remove anxious thoughts. To remove anxiety. Anxiety has led people astray. Anxiety has led people to marry who they are not supposed to marry. Anxiety has led them to take jobs they are not supposed to take. Anxiety has led people to join, societies they are not supposed to join. Organizations. Because if you don't join, now how will you make it in this business? It's a fleshly thought, but you can pray, say, God, help me. Help me so I can get rid of these things. That is what prayer is for. That is what prayer is for. Give the Lord thanks because he has heard. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because you have heard. Say, Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, I give you praise. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Now let's just take one of that our dedications, which I've been taking for some time. So number three dedication, we said, now we are going to pray again this evening. Say, remember we said the fundamental thing about all of this is that we want to take our Christian life as a serious life. It's not just a church life. It's an entire life. Are you getting my point? Every aspect, everything that we are doing. We want Christ to permeate every part of us. Want to be solidly in, like what they say, with him. Not just a church, religious thing. That's what the whole thing is about. And that's why we're making this dedication. This is the third one. I keep reading all of them for us. Let me read all of them so that in case time runs out of us again, or at least we'll know. I keep reading so that we'll know. Number three is to, we're committing to the word dwelling richly in our hearts. Number four, that's what we're going to pray now. Number four, we are committing to fellowship because we read of the earlier disciples that they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, which is number three for us, and to fellowship, that's number four, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Very important. And then number five, we said there is what is called the circumcision of Moses. We'll talk about that. So that we will dedicate ourselves to everything that God places in our hands will be dedicated to him, including our children, our professions, and of course, our ministries. The number six, we'll dedicate ourselves to seeking to hear his voice correctly and to know his will in all we do. And like I said, it's not about praying until your spirit is quiet, be hearing voices. No, it's, you just want to know for sure that this is what the Lord is saying concerning everything. Even if he has to speak with those ears that we talked about, or through dreams, through corrections, through whatever. And last of all, very important, we are dedicating ourselves to be faithful to the Lord Jesus, faithful to the gospel of Christ, faithful to faith in him and in the Father, even when faced with death. He said, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. He who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. It's another dedication. I just want to go through them again. Let's just take a moment and go back to number three. Open our scriptures. That is what we do. We meditate and we pray. All right? Quickly, open to Colossians chapter 3. We're in verse 16. Colossians chapter 3. Are you there? Now, read it. From verse. Let me just switch to this translation, the one I have here.
so that we can all use the same translation. We'll read 16 and 17. So let's read it together. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
One, let's go. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Now what we are going to do, we are just going to take a moment, all right? And like, remember, it's a prayer of dedication personal, that essentially that we are praying. Because you see, the word must fill your heart, amen?
Amen?
But you must dedicate yourself to what? Acquiring it, to pursuing it. One thing that dedication does is that it releases what? Grace. That's what it does. What did I say? Dedication does what? And that's what we are looking for. If you say to God, give me understanding, he will give it to you. Now, it's what you are pursuing, really. People pursue things. When they get it, they don't know. That's the problem. But the Lord has instructed us in what we should do. He said, buy wisdom, don't sell it. Acquire knowledge, acquire wisdom. He said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get what? Understanding. Exalt her, she will promote you. Go after her. She will give to you a crown of life. She will put glory. No, God told us, go after knowledge. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Now, use that scripture and begin to pray. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, this is my dedication for this year. More than sports dwell in me. Oh, many people, sports dwells in them. Every UEFA Cup transfer, they know. They know the amount. But they are not sure of who killed who, whether it was David or Goliath. It's a dedication. Look, just pray the prayer. Say, Father God, I am asking you, supply it to me. Take from me what is necessary. Money, time. We're talking about the seven dedications of a thirsty soul. If indeed you want to walk closer to the Lord, with the Lord, these are the things you need to say. Say, Lord, I will read my Bible. I'm not saying by determination, but I'm asking for grace. Let grace help me to be a student of the word again. Let grace help me that there'll be every day, there's a book I'm reading. There's a portion of the scriptures I'm studying. That's the dedication. If you dedicate to this, life will flow into you. Healing will flow into you. Clarity will flow into you. Health. That's what the Lord is saying. You will be healthy from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Diseases will leave your body. You will not even know that they came. Some that were there, you will try and remember. It just be 6 months ago. That was when you remembered this last. You don't know the date left. Whether it's last month or 3 months ago. The Bible said they came to hear and to be healed. Hearing is the first thing. Dedicate yourself. Say, Lord, I will not be an ignorant Christian. Lord, I reject ignorance. I will not see, I dedicate myself to the word of Christ dwelling richly in my heart. I dedicate myself to the word dwelling in my heart. It's an important prayer. Many people don't read the scripture, say, no, I will not be one of them. You mention the name sometimes of powerful teachers of the word that have written books. Books that some people say they don't even know who that is. I remember I met some ministers once. They were full-time ministers. Me, I just used to come when I'm on leave to work in the church. And I'll be mentioning the name of, you know, ministers. I'll mention Kenneth Hagin, Catherine Kuhlman, you know, mention all those men, EWK, and they're like, who's that one? I said, ah, what job do you people do? But please, it's not only preachers, it's every Christian. Say, Lord, from the money you give me, I will invest in learning. It's a dedication. I want to know you. The first step to revelation is to at least get the physical knowledge first now. I want to know you. Every time Jesus resisted the devil, it was with a word that was spoken. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. It is written, you shall worship the Lord thy God alone. He is the only one you will serve. He's the only one you will bow to.
It is written, you will not tempt the Lord thy God. Say, Lord, I yield my heart to be filled with your word. Say, Lord, I will be filled with the knowledge of your will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that I will walk in a manner worthy of you, to please you in all respect, to bear fruit in every good work, and to increase in the knowledge of God. Say, God, open my understanding. Fill me with the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Please take that chant we take here again and again and personalize it again. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, let me be filled with the knowledge of your will. That is taken from Colossians chapter 1. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Say, Lord, let me walk in a manner worthy of you, to please you in all respect, to bear fruit in every good work, and to increase in the knowledge of God. Now give the Lord thanks. Say, Father God, thank you because you have heard me. I want us to take that declaration together. Everybody, want to let's go. I'm being filled. Say it again. I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Amen. 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 Give the Lord thanks again. Say, Father, I thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you. Thank you.